Next case.
Our next case this evening is case number 12899. William T. Gorman seeks a special use exception and a variance from the maximum square footage requirement for an existing garage studio apartment, sections 115-4, 115-40, and 115-42 of the Sussex County Zoning Code. The property is a lot located on the northwest side of Washington Street within the Rehoboth Manor subdivision. The 911 address is 20556 Washington Street in Rehoboth Beach. The zoning district is GR, General Residential, and the tax map is District 334, map 19.12, parcel 7. And specifically, staff note that the applicant is requesting a variance of approximately 328 square feet from the 800 square foot maximum allowable living space in section 115-4 of the Sussex County Zoning Code, and that the structure itself is approximately 1,100 square feet more or less. Staff additionally note that we have received to date 12 letters of support and a petition with two additional signatures of support, 0 letters of opposition, and 1 mail return. And that additional letter of support that was received this evening notes that the garage is an asset to the neighborhood and the community. It's consistent with surrounding properties and also the neighborhood in general, as it is multifamily with large lots.
Before we get started, Mr. Chairman, first off, Ms. DeVore, you had said that was a 328 square foot variance?
That is correct.
I thought it was a 226 foot variance, and we can flesh that out. I know Mr. Forston's here, and we can probably get into that in a minute.
Okay.
One thing I just wanted to for the board for a little background. You may recall that there was an application for this property last spring. That was a denial that's in your packet. And because of that, there has been a subsequent request by the applicant. They are aware that one of the standards they have to meet before we can entertain the merits of the special use exception and variance application is that there is a substantial change in the application. And let me see if I get the exact verbiage that we have, that there must be a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plans for the use. So that is a standard that must be met before we can entertain the merits of it. So we will have to address that part before we get into that. So I wanted to make sure you're aware of that and had that on your radar as you hear Mr. Forston, who is here tonight on this matter.
Good evening, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. My name is indeed Richard Forston. I'm an attorney with Saul Ewing, and also with me here tonight is my colleague, and I'll say the brains of the operation, Mackenzie Pete, and also with me tonight is the property owner, our client, Mr. Bill Gorman. And I do want to first address what Mr. Sharp pointed out, and it is one of the reasons why I think we meet the substantial change status. We are not requesting a variance of 328 square feet. That was part of what you heard last spring. Instead, the variance we're requesting is only 226 feet. And let me explain kind of what's going on here. There are two buildings on this property. One was constructed in 1984, one was constructed in 1999. They both predate the apartment language that is in the zoning code. The front building on this lot is one story and it is approximately 1,026 square feet. I'll say the back building right behind it is two stories. It used to be a garage and actually was a car repair business, which you were allowed to do there. So the previous owner had a business. He repaired cars. And then there's some living space above that. That building is 1,128 square feet. The zoning code allows, and by the way, this is, you know, zoned high density under the comp plan, and multifamily is encouraged under the comp plan for this property. The two-story structure is the larger structure, but in the previous application, Mr. Gorman, who was representing himself at the time, applied for that to be, I'll say, the apartment and the smaller structure in the front to be the building. And the way the code is set up, you can have however big your house is, and then you can have an apartment now up to 800 square feet in size. And because the front building is 1,026 feet, it's more than 800 feet, and because the back building is 1,128 square feet, you're gonna need a variance. And when Mr. Gorman applied, he applied for the back unit, the larger building, to be the apartment. And for that, he needed a variance of 328 square feet. Now, that was the previous application, but we have flipped that, if you will. And so now, under this application that's before you tonight, the larger building, the back building, is going to be considered the main residence. And the front building, the smaller building, is going to be considered the apartment, which is, I would submit, probably how it should have been done last spring, but it wasn't. But one of the advantages of that in terms of, and it was mentioned by one of the members earlier tonight, the requested variance is now one-third what it was last spring. Instead of being 328 square feet, it's only 226 square feet, a reduction of, as I say, approximately a third, rounding off. So we do, I think, have a substantial change here in our application and proposed use, because it's a 180 degree change, if you will. The building that was proposed as the main building in the previous application is going to be the apartment. The building that was proposed as the apartment is now going to be the main building. That's a difference in the special exception request. And then the variance request, as I say, is now one-third less than it was. And by the way, I should point out, and again, this is one of, you know, every zoning code has its quirks, and I'll say unintended consequences. If either of these buildings had only been 800 square feet in size, we wouldn't be here in front of you at all tonight, because the department can grant this special exception so long as the proposed apartment is 800 square feet or less. But because of history, I mean, as I said, both these buildings were built years before this 800 square foot limitation was put in place, they could not grant the special exception administratively. And so we have to come to the board, which we're happy to do, because I think we meet the standards for the grant of a variance, but we have to come to you for that variance tonight. So that is why we're here tonight. We have a building, we have a property, it's got two buildings on it. The proposal is that one of the buildings would be designated the main residence and the other building would be designated the apartment per the zoning code. And the reason we're here making this request, ultimately the practical difference between getting this variance and not getting this variance, is a stove and a refrigerator. Because right now, the second building, the building in the back, the building that used to be the car repair business, that car repair business has been abandoned, which I think everybody in the neighborhood is happy about, and that's one of the reasons we now have 12 letters of support. But that building didn't have a kitchen in it originally. It was just two bedrooms, I'll say, on the second floor. Now the first floor, the garage, the parking of the car, the repair business has been abandoned. So that first floor has been converted into living space, living room slash family room. But under the code, in order to install a refrigerator, in order to install a stove, we need to get it designated as an apartment. And so should you guys grant the variance and the special exception request tonight, that will allow Mr. Gorman, who comes down, well, not every weekend, but many weekends, and stays in this second building, it will allow him to have cooking facilities that he doesn't currently enjoy. That's the ultimate practical effect of all of this. But let me explain to you why I think we meet the requirements in the code, because I do believe that we do meet those requirements, and I hope that I can persuade you of that tonight. Sorry, did you have a question, sir? If obviously you guys are, and I've seen you do it, you'll interrupt me if you have questions.
I guess my question, I'll take that back. Do we have to make that decision first on the...
That's what I was wondering.
We would, and I think we would probably need somebody to testify, perhaps to affirm your statements, Mr. Forston, if Mr. Gorman wanted to come in and be sworn into that. Since you've put some things on the record, we just need to make sure it's under oath. Good evening. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Bill Gorman, 1160 East Passyunk Avenue, Philadelphia, PA, 19147, my primary. Secondary, 2556 Washington, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, 19971.
And do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
And I'll have you, you've heard the statements made by Mr. Forston?
Yeah.
Do you believe those to be true and correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Can I amend, Mr. Gorman, Bill, just for the record here, and so we avoid a lot of back and forth, you have reviewed the letter application that we submitted.
Yes.
To the board, is that correct?
I've reviewed that,
and
yes.
With one typo that I have to correct, is the letter otherwise true and correct?
It is. We reviewed it on Friday and again today. And except for that typo, it's all correct.
You reviewed it before we submitted it too, didn't you?
Yes. On several occasions. Yeah.
And what was the typo, if I may?
So I want to, I apologize. I was mortified when I was reading it earlier today. On the first page of our letter, we talk about the two different buildings, and we say that the one-story building is approximately 1,100 square feet in size. It's actually 1,026 square feet in size. And then the two-story building, we say is approximately 1,026 square feet in size. It's actually 1,128 square feet in size. So those two typos, you read something 100 times.
That may have been why Ms. DeVore...
That is correct.
So yes. I'm glad you clarified that for us and
yes.
clarified
you.
The record.
I apologize.
No worries. Yeah. My
just
apologies.
Just flip those numbers.
Yeah. So with that, thank you, Billy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
I have a couple of questions, Mr. Forston. Mm-hmm. The practical benefit of the previous application was that he wanted a full kitchen in the rear building. Is that correct?
Essentially, yes.
And is that also the practical benefit he seeks out of this application?
That's the only difference that will occur should this variance and special exception be granted, correct?
Okay. If the benefit has not changed, does that meet the standard for res judicata?
I think that the answer is, and if you look at there's a case called Colic that talks about it. We have changed the application. The variance request that was requested last spring, based on the numbers and the different sizes of the building, was for a larger variance. It was for a 328 square foot variance because the front building was going to be the apartment. And now the rear building will be considered the, I'm sorry, I'm saying that backwards again, aren't I? The front building will be the apartment. Previously it was going to be the main building. And so the variance request, the square footage is reduced. And the main building now will be the back building, whereas before the main building was going to be the front building. It's a different application. The fact that ultimately you get to the same place, I don't think matters in terms of the issue. The answer is, and the case law says, is there a change, a substantial change, a change in the application? And the answer is yes. We're seeking a variance that's reduced by one-third, and we're changing the designation of the buildings. And those are substantial changes. They make a difference.
The way I'm hearing this, or the way I'm seeing this, is we're kind of just swapping labels here. Instead of the front being a single family dwelling, it's now going to be an apartment. Instead of the back being an apartment, it's now going to be a single family dwelling. Is that actually a change if we're just swapping labels?
It makes a difference because it makes a difference in the square footage of the variance. So it's not just a change in labels. It's a substantive change. And therefore it matters. And I think you're able to hear this application. It's a different application than what was presented last spring.
I have one more. The arguments for the five criteria, are the arguments for the five criteria substantially different than before?
I wasn't here last spring. I can't say I heard them all. And so I can't tell you how they were articulated, but I can tell you that we meet the criteria with this application. For one thing, and you I think mentioned it earlier, Mr. Warfel, the variance is supposed to be the minimal variance that's possible and still you can make use of the property. Last year's variance was 328 square feet. This year's variance is only 226 square feet, which is the minimal variance necessary. So we meet one of the criteria that perhaps wasn't met last spring.
Thank you.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. And kind of piggybacking off some of the stuff that you just, questions you just asked. You have two homes, or what we're trying to create into apartments, homes. What is the square footage of that, of those homes combined currently?
See if I can do the math in my head. It would be 2,154 square feet.
Okay, so if we were to grant this.
Yes.
What would that number be then? Total between the two. If we were to grant this, is it the same number? That square footage?
Those two square footages still add
up
to
the same. What is that number?
2,154 square feet.
So essentially, there is no change in square footage. It's just changing one thing to the other is what we're looking at. The reason I ask that question is because nothing's really changing square footage-wise. It's changing what you're doing.
Well, I will simply observe that your code matters and what your code says matters. And last year when Mr. Gorman was here unrepresented, he was asking for a square footage variance of 328 square feet, which was more, as it turns out, than the actual variance he needed. He only needs a variance of 226 square feet. That's a difference. And you can say, well, nothing on the ground is really changing, but it's still a difference. And I think it matters. And there were a couple of other things. I mean, when I read your all's opinion from last spring, you talked about the fact that there wasn't a demonstration that there wouldn't be the standard is actually substantially adversely affects. It's kind of weird language. But that Mr. Gorman hadn't met the standard that there would be no substantial impacts on surrounding properties. In fact, 12 of his neighbors, including the neighbor who's immediately next door to this garage, have written letters in support of this application. And it's, I would submit, far better than the prior use that was being made of this property. These buildings, by the way, when you think about the property and is there something unique about the property that necessitates the grant of the variance, both these buildings were built before this 800 square foot apartment limitation size was put in. So, I mean, this is essentially a pre-existing property. And as a result of the two buildings, I mean, the second building being bigger than 800 square feet, now we're not gonna get a kitchen in one of the two buildings. I will say to me personally, that seems, I could say a lot of things. I'll just say silly, because to the average person on the street, to all the neighbors in the neighborhood, there will be no difference other than Mr. Gorman will be able to cook himself a hot meal. That's it.
One other question. Didn't the applicant finish the first floor of the rear building into apartment space?
When he bought the property, it had still been being used as a garage. So he ended that use and converted it into, there was two bedrooms upstairs already, and he just converted what had been the garage where the repair work was being done into living space.
Right, yes. The reason I say that is because didn't he convert that after the ordinance allowing the garage studio apartment?
It was about the same. I couldn't tell you precisely when that was done. I think that's probably right.
Okay.
But again, the building was, I mean, he could have made the garage, he could have carved out 300 square feet and had this kind of dead, empty space he didn't use. I mean, the footprint is the footprint. And if you're going to convert that garage into livable space, then you end up with the square footage that that building has.
I just remembered I had one question I forgot to ask at the last application, which is, maybe I just missed it. Is there an interior stair that connects these two floors?
I believe there is, yes.
So you don't have to go outside and around to get back into the first floor?
Correct.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I mean, it's designed as to be Mr. Gorman's residence when he's in, when he's at the beach. And so it's not designed to be further, you know, subdivided or rented or anything like that. There are, incidentally, and we cited them in our papers, two other properties that do have the same thing, two buildings. One of those buildings is an apartment. I can't tell you, because the records weren't good enough for us to figure it out, how big those apartments are. But, I mean, this is not going to be, like, the only example of this in the neighborhood. There's already two within several lots of this one. So, you know, if you do look at the standards for the grant of a special exception is to be granted when the proposed use isn't going to substantially affect adversely, that's the way the code says it, the neighboring properties. And I would submit to you that allowing allowing Mr. Gorman essentially to put in a kitchen into this building that's already there will have no adverse impacts, let alone substantial ones, on the surrounding properties. I think the special exception is clearly meets the standards. And then for your variance test, and I'll skip quick check, because as Mr. Sharp reminded me earlier today, although I like quick check, which basically calls for a balancing, your code does have some fairly strict language. The first is, are there unique physical circumstances or conditions? I would say yes. These two buildings predate this particular zoning code requirement. And so that makes it, I would say, unique. We didn't build to this. We didn't create this hardship. These buildings were already there before the code provision was adopted. And then the second element is, because of physical conditions or circumstances, the property cannot be developed in strict conformance with the code provisions. Well, I've always thought that was a little bit of an odd choice of the way to put it. You could always develop property, in my view, in conformance with code provisions, and never grant another single variance again. That doesn't happen. But here, there are two buildings. They predated the zoning code, and you cannot have an apartment without a variance under these circumstances. You could say leave the first floor as a garage, but I don't really think that's fair, and I don't think that makes sense. The third one is the exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant, and you've heard plenty of testimony about how these buildings were built long ago, one in the 80s, one in the 90s. The fourth element, the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood. In fact, I would say by getting rid of the automotive repair business that had been conducted there, we actually made the neighborhood better. But certainly, from a practical point of view, there will be no change to what any of the other residents see. And in fact, you don't have to take my word for that. I mean, we've got letters from the neighbors in support of that. And then the last element, or the last criteria, is, are we requesting, the variance requested is the minimum variance necessary to afford relief. And, you know, last year when the buildings were being considered differently, and the front building was going to be, I'll say, the main residence, and the larger back building was going to be the apartment, you needed a variance of 328 square feet. Now, having looked at it and done a little more research, in fact, the back building, the larger building, will be the main residence. The smaller building, the front building, will be the apartment, should you guys agree to the variance. And the variance request is only 226 feet. So we actually reduced the amount of the variance by one-third, which is one of the elements of the test for the grant of the variance. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. I wish I had been here a year ago, because I think if I'd been here, I'd like to think if I'd been here a year ago and we had structured the presentation and structured the request the way we're structuring it now, you would have granted it. But I do think it is a substantial change. The variance is reduced, the buildings are flipped, and that matters. It matters for purposes of your code, and it matters because the variance request will be less. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Cool. Questions for Mr. Sharp. If we're going to vote on this separately and then hear the merits, do we need to also have public comment on this?
Yes.
Okay. Is that the plan, Mr. Chairman? We're going to do this separately. Okay. Can you read back to me that standard for res judicata one more time, please?
Sure. And this comes from the Collett case that Mr. Forston noted as well. And this is, I'll quote it exactly. It says, while a board cannot change its decision once made, it can consider a new application for similar relief if there has been a substantial change in the circumstances or conditions affecting the property or in the proposed use or plans for the use. It's generally the burden of the applicant to, and this is not part of that, but it's generally the burden of the applicant to demonstrate that, which is why we had to address that part first.
I have another question for Mr. Forston. The way I'm kind of seeing this is, if we're going to call the rear building a single family dwelling and the front building a garage studio apartment, those would be different uses under the code. Would that be correct, or am I thinking about this wrong?
They would be different than what was proposed in the previous application, correct?
I mean, we're kind of playing with legal arguments here, but they're both going to be dwellings, they're both going to be residences, but in my mind, a single family dwelling is one use and a garage studio apartment is a different use. That's kind of where I'm coming at with this.
Well, and this is why I mentioned the Collett case, and you heard your attorney read the language. One of the criteria that can lead you all to look at the property is if plans for the use have changed. The plans have changed. What was previously going to be the main dwelling is now going to be the apartment. What was previously going to be the apartment is now the main dwelling. Those are changes in use. And you're exactly right, Mr. Warfel.
Thank you. Anything else from the board?
Yeah, quick question. Well, more of a statement. I mean, I think what the title that it has now matters and the timing matters. Like, one of them has a stove and a refrigerator and is designated the main residence. The other one is designated an apartment. You know, just flipping them, to me, just... You know, whether we go one way or the other is just a tricky way of getting to, you know, where we're trying to get. But I think what it's designated now matters.
Well, Mr. Hastings, let me make sure I understand, because what matters, I believe, is the application that we've submitted and asked you all to confirm. Every apartment that I'm aware of, by the way, for the most part, has cooking facilities. If this back building was only 800 square feet in size, we could have put kitchen in already, and as I said earlier, we wouldn't be here in front of you requesting this variance. But because it's greater than 800 square feet in size, the department couldn't grant the special exception administratively. Both these buildings are bigger than 800 square feet. That's why we had to come to you for a variance. The fact that one building right now has cooking facilities but the other doesn't, I mean, that's why we're here trying to get this variance, but I don't think it matters for purpose of the decision you're trying to make. I mean, it does matter. The intended uses ultimately matter. Mr. Gorman owns the property. He wants to use the back building, the two-story building, as the residence, and the front building is going to be the apartment. Last year when he came here, he had that flipped. He had the front building as the main residence and the back building as the apartment. I can't tell you why he did that. And I don't think it matters, but as a result of changing it, the variance request is reduced, and the plans for the use have changed, and that's one of the elements that would allow you to consider this application. Again, it is a different application. Thank you.
So, Mr. Sharp, we're going to go ahead and run through this as a substantial change.
Yeah, we do need to see if there's anybody here, and I don't know that there is, but we do need to see if anybody here wants to testify as to that position.
Are we going to do the special use and the variance together or separate? How would you like to do that?
Well, first we need to see if there's anybody we have to see if there's anybody who wants to talk about the substantial use, if they have a position on that wishes to speak. Then if not, I don't know if Mr. Forston has anything else he wishes to present on the merits. We can do that then.
Okay.
Assuming that it was voted favorably.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of the substantial change to this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to the substantial change in this case? Anything else from the board? Williamson? Check and make sure you're there.
I'm here.
At this time, I will close this substantial change portion of this case of 12899 for Mr. William Gorman. Entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, on case number 12899 for William Gorman, I move that the criteria for res judicata have been met and we can hear the case. Due to the change in the amount of variance request, as well as the change of usage in the type of building or the type of dwellings that they want.
We have a motion. Do we have a second to rehear this case on the substantial, or not rehear it, but have substantial change with this case? 12899. So with that, Mr. Warfel, your motion dies.
Couple options the board could have. You could vote, you could move near the motion. You could move to say that the applicant has not met the burden in the colloquy manner to move forward with this rehearing. You could continue with the rest of the hearing on the merits and effectively table that decision until you've heard everything and then render a decision on that point as well as the merits if you felt that standard was met after the.
And Mr. Chairman, I move that we defer on the decision about res judicata to the end of the public hearing.
Second that.
We have a motion and a second. To table this until the end of the hearing. Mr. Williamson?
Aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Hastings?
Aye.
Orful?
Aye.
And aye too. So we will table that decision until the end of the hearing.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I am still Richard Forston, still the attorney for the applicant, and still with me here tonight is my colleague, Mackenzie Pete, and my client, Mr. Gorman. So now the question is, are we entitled to the variance for the 226 square feet that we would need? The apartment under the code provision that was adopted in the late 2000s is 800 square feet. These buildings, both of which predate that code requirement, were built in 1984 and 1999, respectively. So when you look at the five criteria for the grant of a variance, The first criteria, there are unique physical circumstances or conditions. Here we've got these two buildings, as I said, which predate the code. And so I would argue that those are unique physical circumstances or conditions that justify granting the variance. It might fail for other grounds, but certainly I think the criteria for the grant of a variance is there. The second criteria, because of physical conditions or circumstances, the property cannot be developed in strict conformance with the code provisions, and a variance is necessary to make reasonable use of the property. Again, these buildings predate the code. We can't make reasonable use of one of the buildings because you can't cook hot meals in it. And so I believe the variance is necessary. We're not going to lop off 226 feet of a building and then be able to do it. Again, I think that would be nonsensical, but that's why you exist, to grant relief where there are where relief is justified. Item three is the exceptional practical difficulty was not created by the applicant. I think that's self-evident. These buildings were built well before Mr. Gorman took title.
Can we stop right there on that one?
Yes.
You had mentioned in the statement before that he would like to have a cooking unit in his second unit. Does the need for that, isn't that created by the applicant?
I would argue that anybody who wants an apartment or a living unit wants a kitchen. That isn't a need of his. That's a basic human necessity, I would submit. And I don't think it's fair to say we're going to deny you the variance because you can live without a kitchen. You just go out to restaurants every night. I don't think that's right. So that's my answer to your question.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the I understand it's a need, but the need for a kitchen in that second unit, isn't that created by the person who's going to be living in that unit?
Well, maybe you and I are just looking at this differently. If you said to me, Richard, I've got this lovely apartment I want to show you out here, out back behind my house. It doesn't have a kitchen, but live in it. I mean, you can live there. I would say, I need a kitchen. Everybody needs a kitchen where they're going to live, where they're going to rent. So I don't think it's a need created by the applicant. I think it's a basic human necessity. And the only reason, as I've said a couple times, probably too many now because I'm repeating myself, but the only reason we're here is because that building has a footprint that's too big, or actually the front building has a footprint that's bigger than 800 square feet. If the front building was 800 square feet instead of 1,026 square feet, we wouldn't be here. But that front building, built in 1999, was built at 1,026 square feet. And that's what's creating the need for the variance. But I don't think it's fair to say that second building shouldn't have a kitchen because that's a personal need that the applicant wants. It's something that I think every apartment needs and has. I mean, it's not an apartment now. It's just two extra rooms. He happens to stay there because it's a separate building. But, you know, we want to have it as an apartment. And it's otherwise authorized under the code except for the fact that the first building, through the accidents of history, is 200 square feet, 226 square feet, too big.
You said that building's been there for, was that the building that was built in the 90s, or was that the other building?
Let me just check my notes here, I apologize. The front building, the first unit, I'm sorry, that was built in 1984. The front building. The second building was built in 1999. That was the one that was used for the automobile repair. So again, I think Mr. Gorman did a good thing for the community. He stopped that automobile repair use. And if you will, the trade-off is, I mean, he wants to live there when he's down at the beach. He wants to be able to cook food. Nobody in the community is going to know of this change. That is, that now he suddenly is able to have a stove and a refrigerator and be able to cook meals in that second building. As far as they're concerned, it's still the same building. The traffic is still the same. There's no changes. The way the code is set up, we have to come and ask for a variance with a fairly strict standard, but a standard I think we meet.
Thank you.
I have a few questions. I seem to remember that the garage has flood vents and there's been an issue with flooding in the garage. Is that true?
That I can't answer off the top of my head. Bill, do you want to come up for a second?
There is, it's on a floodplain. The garage would go underwater with heavy rains, certainly with storms, but it is a floodplain. So when I converted that in 2014 with permits from the county to living space, we raised the floor 3 feet. So, it, you know, and the garage had a commercial door and he was running an illicit business there. When the garage was here with a commercial door, 15 foot setback with an 8 foot stockade fence, there was no real way to get cars in and out of that garage in many ways. So I lifted the floor up 3 feet. There was flooding, and I do have flood vents.
Okay.
But it's out. But the floor is out of the floodplain now, is the point.
That's right. So
The new raised floor.
Yeah.
Essentially, you have a crawl space under the floor now, what was a garage.
I do. Mr. Shockley reviewed my elevation certificate back in 2014. So I'm 3 foot above base flood.
And because of the way the garage is situated on the lot, is that why it's hard to get a vehicle in and out of there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the property, Mick McKenzie has the, you know, the visuals. You have the cottage in the front, 25 by 40 approximately. And then behind that, with 3 feet space, is the two-story dwelling. So the garage, as I mentioned, would face the neighbor's property. And the garage was in the back of the property. So, you know, he had his own system on getting cars or motorcycles in and out of the garage. But it required backing them out. You couldn't kind of turn them in the garage. But that was the configuration. You have the cottage. Behind the cottage was the garage, upstairs studio apartment. And it would go into water. That was lifted, flood vents put in, into living space, 3 feet above base flood.
I have some questions from Mr. Forreston about, because we're dealing with like labels, what are these things labeled? I want to talk about some of the definitions in the code and what these different things mean. So currently, as I understand it, the front building is a single family dwelling and the rear building is a guest house because it doesn't have a kitchen. Is that, am I understanding this correctly?
Well, I'll tell you what, let me just grab my copy of the code so I can get the definition.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is my printout of the zoning code. Don't leave home without it, right? I always bring these things to just in case questions come up like yours. So I believe you're correct about the first building, the front building. I wanted to look up the definition of guest. That's why I wanted guest home. Living quarters with a detached accessory building located on the same premises with the main building for use by temporary guests of the occupants on the premises, such quarters having no kitchen facilities or separate utility meters and not rented or otherwise used as a separate dwelling. That is the definition of guest house.
Okay. So then if we were to grant this variance, we're going to have two structures that appear to be very similar in size. They're both going to have full kitchens. They're both going to have bedrooms. They're both going to be used as dwellings. How do I look at the code and determine which one of them is an accessory to the other?
Well, part of that is going to be based on the grant of the special exception, but I would argue that the larger structure would be the main dwelling.
Simply because it's larger?
Correct.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think that's an arbitrary choice. I think that's intuitively, that's what makes sense to me.
Well, I mean, right now the rear building is a larger structure. So does that mean right now the rear building is the primary structure and the front building is the accessory?
No, because as we just talked about, the back building doesn't have kitchen facilities. And so it meets the definition of guest house because it doesn't have kitchen facilities. And I don't think you could have a main dwelling without kitchen facilities.
Right. The decided where I wanted to go next with these definitions. The definition of a garage studio apartment. So there's two elements kind of at issue here. The one is the no more than 800 square feet, so you're asking for a variance for that. But it also says that it's an accessory, okay? How, if these buildings are being used in very similar fashion, very similar size, why is one an accessory to the other? Is one even an accessory at all to the other?
Yes. And I say that, I don't mean to be cute or be pedantic or funny. I mean, the way the code is set up, you're allowed to have a separate building with an apartment. Code says nothing about, oh, the first building has to be 50% larger or anything like that. And as I mentioned during my presentation, and we've attached pictures with our application, there are two other situations virtually identical to this within a stone's throw of this particular property. That is, there's a building and there's a second building. For all intents and purposes, they look to be about the same. One's a main structure and one's the apartment. So this isn't setting some new precedent here. We're doing something that's consistent with at least two other uses or two other properties in the neighborhood. It's what your code allows. And the code doesn't, as I say, we meet the requirements of the code, except for the fact that the apartment's going to be a little bit bigger, and the only reason we're here for that variance request is because that building was built well before the 800 square foot limitation was put in place. So, I mean, if it was only, if the front building was, instead of 1,026 square feet, was only 800 square feet, as I said at the outset, I wouldn't be wasting your all's time. I wouldn't want to waste your time. I don't like to waste time. But the drafters of the code, when they drafted it, set the limit at 800, but then obviously, like any code requirement, if an applicant can meet the standards for the variance, you know, we come and we make our pitch to you and make our arguments, and if you agree with us, then a variance gets granted, and they know that when they draft the code. So, you know, there's a 10-foot setback, but with appropriate a demonstration, you can grant a variance from a setback. There's a height limitation with appropriate demonstration.
This case, this is sort of new for me because I've never heard a case. I don't know if our board's had a case before where somebody's requested a variance that results in one building changing to the accessory and the other building changing to the primary building. That does seem somewhat new to me. So I guess I would take issue with the idea that we're not doing anything new here. How would you respond to that?
Well, you may be doing something new here in that you've never heard this variance request before. I will tell you, I've never submitted a variance request like this before. It doesn't mean that we're not entitled to the grant of the variance, though.
One of the things, because when I was looking through the various definitions today, trying to understand what's going on here, one of the things I noticed in the definition of a single family dwelling is the word design, and the idea that it was designed for the purpose of being a single family dwelling. And so when I look at this property, it seems pretty evident to me that the front building was designed for that purpose, to be the single family dwelling. The rear building was designed to be an accessory. If that was the purposes those buildings were designed for, are we able to change? How does that work? Can we change that?
Yes, you can change it. Circumstances change. That building in the back, when it was originally designed, you heard it was designed for an auto repair business. That business ain't being done anymore. It doesn't mean we can't now repurpose that building. Buildings get repurposed all the time. So we're not doing anything that out of the ordinary, in my view at least, in asking for this variance request. The only thing we're asking for, really, is that Mr. Gorman be allowed to have a kitchen facilities, so he can cook for himself. That's the only practical of cutting through all the legalese, and you know, lawyers like legalese, but I really don't. I mean, if we drill down, he wants to be able to cook food, which I think we all want to be able to do in the place that we live. There will be no effect on the neighborhood from essentially granting him that ability. The neighbors all support the idea, or at least 12 of them do, and other people have signed a petition in support. And I've got to think they're thrilled that there's not going to be any more automotive business being done there. By the way, it's still a permitted use under the zoning. So I think all the merits are there. We meet the standards for the grant of a variance as laid out in your code. Are definitions that are being applied to buildings changing, perhaps? Sure. But that doesn't matter. What matters is, do we meet the standards that are set forth in the code? And I think we do.
One last question, I guess. Well, I may have more, but right now I've got one. We discussed earlier about the use of a garage studio apartment and the use of a single family, and that they seem to be a little bit different uses, not entirely the same. That's why we've got two different terms in the code for two different situations. If we grant a variance and the result of that variance is that these uses now reverse, does our variance sort of look like a use variance as well as an area variance?
No, because the code allows us to do what we're doing. The property is residential, by the way. It's being used for residential, period. So, I mean, in terms of permitted uses, those uses are still being made. You only get a use variance when you want to use a property for a use not permitted in that zoning classification.
Yeah, and Sussex County doesn't allow for use variances to begin with. I know other jurisdictions in the state do, but we do not have that ability here.
That's why I asked, yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll just make this comment kind of what I'm thinking, and you can respond if you wish, but when we start blurring the definitions of what these things mean, that starts to concern me a little bit. Are we doing the right thing here? Because people need to rely on clear definitions, and some of these definitions seem pretty clear in the code until we start issuing variances for them. And so, I mean, I know we've got a very, very long practice of issuing variances to the no more than 800 square foot element of the garage studio apartment. And that's like a long established precedent at this board. But it has created some ambiguity because now not all studio apartments are no more than 800 square feet. Some of them are more if there's a variance. And then we start adding in another element of accessory versus primary. And we get some more kind of ambiguity, in my view, over what these terms mean. So I guess that's the concern I'm having with this.
I had a question, actually. Is that rear structure, is that on a separate utility meter currently?
And responding then to Mr.
Can you answer that, sir? If not, we have to get him on.
Yes.
Recorded. Okay. Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Warfel, you said what I, as a lawyer, think is cutting through everything is always the right question to ask, which is, are we doing the right thing? And I would submit to you that in granting this special exception and in granting this variance, you are doing the right thing. You said we have a long history of granting variances above 800 square feet for apartments. I have to think that's probably true. But I would also say I think each case probably rises and falls on its own merits. Here you're dealing with two structures that predate the 800 square foot limitation. I don't know in those other cases if they were, I'll say, new apartments that people were proposing to construct and they wanted to make them 864 square feet or 1,500 square feet. I don't know. I don't know that I really care, because I think we meet the standards for the variance here in this case that is before you tonight. But I do think that you're doing the right thing, because granting this variance, go back in time, perhaps let's say that the house was still, or the second structure, the two-story structure was still being used as a automotive repair business. I mean, if we went to the neighborhood and said, guys, what would you prefer to see? They'd all jump at getting rid of that automotive repair. That ended anyway. And Mr. Gorman just did that. But long term, this is the right thing to do. Let him have his hot meals. That's all we're really ultimately drilling down asking for. I don't see how that's the wrong thing at all under these circumstances, given the fact that these buildings predate the zoning code requirement that we're asking for relief from. And I do think we meet the standards of your all's variance request. And I also will just, you know, I do think that the circumstances have changed since the prior application, and Mr. Warfel's motion, I'm just going to get a second for that. I won't repeat myself about that, but absolutely things are different. The variance request is less. That alone, I think, justifies your considering this entire application anew. But also the flipping designations matters. Labels matter. I mean, I should say that as a lawyer, right? And there's a reason why codes, you know, if you follow the code, you're allowed to do what you do. And if I want to designate this building as the main building and that building as the accessory building, there's nothing wrong with me doing that. And if I want to flip those designations, there's nothing that prohibits me under the code from doing that. But it does allow the variance request to be less. And so I think that matters. But anyway, I'm starting to repeat myself again, and I always try not to do that, so.
Mr. Sharp, do you have anything?
I think the only thing I'd have is, I know Mr. Forston's spoken about some things, and there's been some facts and arguments. Perhaps Mr. Gorman might want to, again, verify those statements just so we're confirmed in the record to clean the record up. I know, Mr. Gorman, I know you've testified earlier, but have you heard the additional statements made by Mr. Forston?
I have.
And do you believe those be true and correct?
They are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp, for keeping us on our toes and keeping the record accurate.
Anything else from the board right now? Does that conclude your presentation, sir?
Unless anybody has any questions, I don't think there's much more
I can say.
Would this
then also predate the definition of a guest home? The only reason why I ask is because you said it was on a separate utility meter.
I'll say this, Ms. DeVore, I'm looking at the code online right now, and usually they put when the amendments were. I'm looking home occupation. It says 1992 guest house is the one right above it. There is no reference there as to when that was added or amended. So
okay.
I'm going to presume that is an older one unless Mr. Forston disagrees. But judging by what I'm seeing on the online e-code, where they have listed from the amendments, where I'm going to guess that was probably an older definition.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Sharp.
Yeah, we can try to figure out if it was part of the original code or added at some point if you like, but I can't tell from just looking at my printout.
Does that conclude your presentation, sir? You all done?
Yes. I'm Thank happy you. To answer any questions. You can call me back up if you like,
we may do that. I'm done.
Thank you very much.
Is anyone present who would like to speak in favor of this case? Is anyone present who would like to speak in opposition to this case? Anything from the board?
Just a point of order. So then going forward, we would then, if Mr. Warfel was willing, he would put his motion back, could put his motion back on the table regarding Rej.
Res judicata, yes.
Res judicata,
Mr. Warfel could
correct.
Renew his motion.
We would take action on that, and depending upon that, then
vote on the
take action on the case. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Did you want me to make that motion again?
I would never speak for you, sir.
Well, I mean, if you feel second, I'll make the same motion I made before.
If you could repeat it, please.
Yes. I move that on case number 12899 for William Gorman, that they've met the criteria for res judicata to hear the case because of the reduction in the amount of variance requested, as well as the change of uses between garage studio apartments and single family dwellings.
Second.
Motion and a second, Dr. Carson. Mr. Williamson. Mr. Hastings.
I'll vote aye.
Dr. Carson?
Aye.
Mr. Warfel?
Aye.
And aye too. So with a vote of 4-1, we have voted that there is a substantial change in this case.
note we have both a variance and special use exception mm-hmm. before the board. I know in some cases we will combine those into one motion. Other times we will split those into different motions. So you have that as an option for the variance and the special use exception.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case number 12899, William Gorman, for the special use exception. We'll leave the variance request in the next motion because the, well, let me get my paper here. For the requested special use exception, pending a final written decision based upon the record made during the public hearing, because the proposed use will not substantially affect adversely the uses of neighboring and adjacent properties.
Second.
Motion and a second. Mr. Williamson.
Based on this, I say aye.
Mr. Hastings.
Aye.
Dr. Carson.
Aye.
Mr. Werfel.
Aye.
And aye too. So the vote of 5-0, the special use exception is approved. And for the variance?
I'm not going to make the motion on this one. I'll let one of you all take those.
Mr. Chair. I move that we approve the requested variance for case number 12899 for William T. Gorman. I believe that the variance will not alter the essential character of the neighborhood and will represent the minimum variance necessary to afford relief.
Motion and a second. Mr. Werfel?
I'm going to vote nay. I'll give my reasons. This should not be read as how I'm going to vote on future cases. This will have no impact on future cases, but I believe this application is an application for two single-family dwellings. It's a use variance, and we can't grant it.
Mr. Williamson?
I am also voting nay. I do believe this need is.
Mr. Hastings.
I'm going to vote aye for the reason stated.
Dr. Carson.
Sorry, Mr. Chair. I'm voting aye for the reason stated.
And I vote nay. So with a vote of 2-3, the variance is denied.
Mr. Corman, what were your reasons for the nay?
Same reasons that Mr. Werfel's are. Actually, I think it's trying to create two livable main dwellings.
You believe it's created by the applicant?
And it was, yes, obviously.
I'll agree that it was created by the applicant also.
Thank you. Do we need a recess or are we good?
I need a recess.
We need a recess. We'll be back here at 8:00.